This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It's time to look at the global markets. We're still taking stock of 2018's bloodbath as well as looking into the outlook for 2019. On the line, we have Tony Nash, Chief Economist and CEO of Complete Intelligence. Good morning, Tony. Now, the S&P 500 index created about 6.2% last year, which is the worst yearly close since the 2008 financial crisis. Will the weak economy be a key theme for 2019?
You know, I think it will be. I think as expectations change, we've been telling people all year that China's economy was slowing, but most people have really just woken up to it in the past probably 3 months. And I think that will be a rude awakening for many investors. I think exporters around the region have already started to feel it, or probably started feeling it two months ago. But I think it gets more difficult from here on out as China kind of owns up to how difficult things are. But the other factor is Japan. Japan's really not doing very well either. And we've seen today with the moves in the USDJPY, the effects of QQE are wearing off, and Japanese Central Bank may have to do something very radical if they really want to devalue Japanese yen as they've had for the past few years.
Yeah, Tony, Apple, I think just a couple hours ago, lowered its forecast for the first quarter, citing a more than expected slowdown in Greater China. What are your views in terms of the broad implications from this revision?
Sure. I think some of that stuff it may be related to the Chinese economic slowdown, but I think a lot of it really is more related to Huawei and the protests that Chinese consumers have had over the arrest of Huawei's CFO in China, protesting buying Apple phones. So it seems to me that, yes, part of it is the Chinese slowdown, but the more dramatic part, especially the deviation from expected sales, is related to Chinese consumers just refusing to buy American-branded products.
Tony, as prices fall, obviously value will begin to emerge. Do any sectors at this moment stand out to you for some kind of investing opportunity?
I'm not sure things are really sector plays yet. I think it's still relatively early. So I think we need to it's a stock picker's market. You've got to be really careful about each company and try to figure out where that value is. And if we do have a slowdown, so our expectation is that Asia slows down, largely on the back of China slowdown, and Europe slows down. So expectations for European growth are between 0 and maybe 0.5% in 2019. So most of the world's economies are really having a difficult time. We expect the U.S. to do okay. So people who are really dependent on sales in the U.S. Should be okay. But folks who are looking at the rest of the world are having a really tough time, especially in the first half.
Tony, notwithstanding Apple's first quarter guidance or revisions cut, recent manufacturing activity data out of the Americas as well as in China, and in fact today from Malaysia as well, shows a marked slowdown in terms of manufacturing activity. What are your views in terms of investor sentiment and in fact investor buying of risky assets going into the first quarter?
Well, obviously, as we see interest rates rise, the appetite for risky assets will wane a bit. And so, we're going to see the cost of borrowing rise, probably not dramatically in historic terms, but in relative terms, we may see the cost of borrowing rise kind of further than people want, especially in emerging markets, and especially for U.S. dollar-denominated debt in U.S. markets. So we expected the dollar to come off a little bit in December, January. We do expect that strength to resume in, say, Feb, March. So, one of the things to think about that many people in the West haven't really discovered yet is there is a Chinese New Year effect. And Western investors haven't adjusted to, now that China is the second largest economy in the world, they haven't yet adjusted to the fact that much of the world slows down for Chinese New Year. And there are always subdued expectations, not yet expectations, but subdued activities around that. So between now and, say, end of Feb, we've said for the past few years there's volatility, and it's somewhat unexpected because Western investors largely aren't used to that cyclical adjustment from Jan-Feb. So we do see things slowing down in the U.S. a bit from expectations, I sat with the Fed just over a month ago, one of the regional Fed banks here. They didn't see much in their forecast to really slow down U.S. growth dramatically. So we don't see much happening to slow the U.S. down dramatically, but we are worried particularly about Europe and to a lesser extent China and Japan.
Tony, you mentioned a deterioration in the U.S. dollar going into December and January, but something that hasn't really been discussed in the last few hours has been the flash crashes on the currency front. The U.S. dollar was not spared. What really caused the flash crash? Was it a fat finger effect, or was it something more behind it?
You know what? The volume this morning in Asia is really low. And when you have thin volumes, you see dramatic volatility. So, you know, what we saw largely in December in global markets is algorithmic trading on thin volumes. And so, you know, algorithms typically continue to go in the direction they had been going. So what I've been waiting for is for the portfolio managers to return from their holiday break next week to really see where markets sit. So we're continuing to see the algorithms take charge of things. And early next week, we'll start to see the portfolio managers back in place to see the direction of markets.
Also, in relation to that, can you give us a picture of where the money has been flowing? Are investors holding on to cash or looking to other asset plays such as gold and treasuries?
Well, there's always talk about gold, especially when there's volatility. So we may see demand for gold, but we don't expect a strong gold outlook for 2019. We do expect continued U.S. dollar strength, and there's a general inverse correlation between gold and the dollar. But we've seen private sector liquidity fall by about $3 trillion. By about $3 trillion over the last year. We've seen central bank liquidity fall by about $1 trillion. So now total global liquidity is about $124 trillion. So it's not as if we're seeing dramatic on a percentage basis liquidity come out, but we are seeing, $4 trillion is huge. It's a huge amount of liquidity. It's four times Indonesia's economy. So that's creating a price for money. An interest rate is the price of money. So as more money is taken out of markets, people pay higher interest rates, and that's what we're seeing. And that recalibration of the price of money is what is scaring markets right now. So what we expect to see is central banks come out and calm markets. We expect the ECB to slow down their tightening dramatically. They haven't really started yet, but we expect them to really be dovish in their language over the next few months. We expect the BOJ to come out and be reassuring. The PBOC they're terrible communicators, so no matter what they say, they'll make a hash of it. But we have to understand what they're trying to say, and the PBOC will likely try to calm markets, and then the Fed will moderate a bit. There's not as much need for the Fed to moderate, but we do expect the Fed to moderate a bit in line with what a lot of commentators have been saying.
Well, we've witnessed a decade of basically easy money, and there's a huge wall of cash in the system. Given the outflows from equities and bond markets and even oil markets, where's this money flow to, Tony? Where is it sitting? Is it sitting in cash or elsewhere?
Well, we've seen people take money out of those assets, and we do see a fair bit of it sitting in cash. While people have waited for the next value. So keep in mind, a lot of portfolio managers closed their positions at the end of the calendar year. And so that's why we saw thin volumes in markets. So there are a number of people waiting to understand the lay of the land going into 2019 before they put money back into markets. Now, central banks, kind of Japan and the ECB aside, central banks have been taking liquidity out of the market. That includes China. That includes the U.S. The U.S. has been the most aggressive at taking money out of the market. And so what we do expect is, you know, we see, as I said, a Europe that really should continue to be easy because they don't have economic strength at all. we see a China that should be easing, so that central bank should be reversing course. But the U.S. should be pretty neutral, actually, as the U.S. economy continues to gain strength. And if we see things like an infrastructure program in the U.S., which is a good bet, then we'll see reinforced strength in the U.S. economy. One outlier is Chinese fiscal stimulus, which we expect to be rolled out through the course of the year to the tune of about 10 trillion renminbi. So very, very sizable fiscal program, but the Chinese economy is desperately, desperately in need of it.
Okay, on that note, Tony, can you just give us, we have 30 seconds, can you give us your outlook for Asia in 2019?
Well, it's going to be tough, and we think that small economies like Singapore are going to have a really tough time as the ripple effects from China come out. We think that Malaysia may have a difficult time, but they're a bit more more sheltered from Chinese ripple effects. But if you look at what's happening with Korea, particularly their exports, Korea is already seeing it. So anybody who is tight into Chinese supply chains will feel the effects. They're already feeling it, but they'll feel it even more going into Q1, possibly into Q2. Then we'll start to see things come back as that fiscal stimulus transmits out into the economy.
Thank you so much. That was Tony Nash, Chief Economist and CEO of Complete Intelligence, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.